Let's go into the word this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your spirit that you've so richly given unto us. Upon your great resurrection, our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that there is clarity as truth of God's word is taught. Truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with precision. There is no confusion. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word this morning. At the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified. And Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Turn with me to where? Where? Turn with me to where now? Come again? Turn with me to where? Brother Sam, what should we start to today? What say? 2 Timothy 3:15. Is that what she said? Brother Sam, where should we start from this morning? That place is good. You stand on the existing nomination. Sister Rose, where should we start from this morning? 2 Timothy. Sister Nengi? Ah. Okay. 2 Timothy 3. Let's not look like I did not listen. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We want to do a few want to study a few things and bring a little clarity here and then a few things we've been studying for a few weeks. You see what I said? A few clarity, want to have a few updates on a few things we've been studying for a few weeks now, and then we trust we'll be done in a few hours. Amen. 2 Timothy 3:15. And from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto what? Salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. It says all scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Say doctrine. Say reproof. Say correction. Say for instruction in righteousness. That a man of God, say that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Yeah, so a good way to read that is that a man of God may come into perfection and may be perfected, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So scriptures are given by inspiration of God. Now, let's take it a step back, right? When Paul, Uche, it's good to see you. Why the one sitting behind me? Oh, okay. Good to see you. Yeah, what was I saying? So let's take a step back. What's the meaning of Uche in English? Where? Will. Okay, the mind, willpower. So when you say, what's your full name? Uche Chukwu. I know Chukwu is God. How do I know Ekele Dili Chukwu? Chukwu is God. So God's will. So what's God's will for you? Isn't that goodness? Goodness is running out of time. So we're saying that scriptures will mean what? You should be able to answer that quick. So let me ask again. Scriptures will mean what? So according to Paul, when he says scriptures are able to make thee wise unto salvation, he will be speaking in regards to what? Genesis to Malachi. And what did he say about Genesis to Malachi? He says they are able to make thee wise unto what? Salvation. So it means that there is a way to read Genesis to Malachi, and there's a way not to read Genesis to Malachi. Yeah, so a good way to know you've read Genesis to Malachi is when you come to that conclusion of what? God's will, which is what? Salvation. Yeah, don't look at this hand, okay? Okay, you'll get it when you get home. So, in the real sense, salvation is God's will. But let me just laugh. After 5 minutes. Some of you are laughing at it. You don't still get it. Okay. So God's will is that what? God's will has been what? Salvation. So salvation is God's will that you will see well explained in Genesis to what? Malachi. So let me go to where I wanted to start from. I started from where they wanted to start from. So go to Acts. Go to the book of Acts. Run with me quickly to Acts 8. Yeah, so from 2 Timothy, we see Acts 8. And let's see something very interesting. Acts 8, verse 27. See what happens. It says, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go towards the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Right? And he rose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, right, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. So the Ethiopian came to Jerusalem to what? To worship. Now, if you remember the series we talked about praises through the lens of Christ, and we talked about the practice of worship as a practice or an act where people go to pay obeisance. Is that a word? Obeisance, right? Yeah. With things. So you will see people in the Jewish culture, for instance, when they say they've worshipped, you would see something they took to worship. For instance, you see the wise men went to Jesus with the statue. What? Worship, right? You see, Abraham went ayonder. Yeah, Abraham would tell his son, let's go ayonder, but to what? Worship. So you see, the practice of worship comes with the practice of bringing a sacrifice. Are we together? Yeah. So this Ethiopian eunuch will go with the sacrifice, whatever it will be, to Jerusalem for to worship. Now, on his way, on his way back, right, Philip, by the Spirit of God, was well positioned and he met with the Ethiopian. Are we together? Right? So he was returning in verse 28 and sitting in his chariot, and he was reading what? I mean, Acts chapter 8, verse 28. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. He was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. So where do you suppose was opened in front of him when he was reading? Isaiah the prophet. Are we together? Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? Volume 3. Not everybody can get that. Amen. Amen. Let's stay with volume 1, okay? So, and he said, understandest thou what thou readest? Now, what does understandest thou what thou readest? So, understandest thou what thou readest is the King James way of confusing you. Right? Understandest thou what thou readest? Really, do you understand what you read? Do you understand? Do you understand what you read? So, Philip threw that question to the Ethiopian eunuch. Do you understand what you read? So he's asking the eunuch, do you understand what you are reading in the book of the prophet Isaiah? Now look at a very intelligent answer that you should take as a believer from this conversation. Look at verse 31. And he said, how can I? Wait. The purpose for reading, is it not to understand? The purpose for reading is to understand. And the answer he gives the Philip is, how can I, except some man should what? Guide me. You see, one intelligent truth in this conversation is that the Ethiopian knew that even though it was written in clear letters, you need a guide to understand the scriptures. Are we here? Even though, now, I'll show you what his confusion really was. Look at verse 31, and he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he should come up and sit with him to what? Guide him. Now, look at 32. He says, the place of scriptures which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. Now, he says, in his humiliation, his judgment was what? Taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet Isaiah this? Of himself or some other man? Are we together? So the question now becomes, who was Isaiah talking about? Of himself or someone else? And he said, and Philip opened his mouth like this. Right? So he opened his mouth to mean that he opened his mouth to say something. Yeah? He didn't just do ha. No, let's start entering the Ethiopian eunuch and his chariot. Right? So he opened his mouth and he began at the what? At the what? Same scripture and preached unto him who? Jesus. Now, do you suppose that Philip knew the facts of 2 Timothy 3:15 and 16? Do you suppose he knew that fact? Yes,
Holy Scriptures are to make thee what? Wise unto salvation. Would that be wise unto Jesus? So would it mean that, so even without listening to what Philip will say, if his conclusion was to make the Ethiopian eunuch wise unto Jesus, he has done well. Because the confusion to the eunuch was this prophecy or was this prophet writing about somebody else or himself? So it means that in Bible study, one of the first questions you should ask is, who is being addressed and who is addressing? Are we together? What is a conversation pointing to and who is having the conversation? So Philip began to explain Jesus unto him. And as they went on the way, there came unto a certain... Now remember, Acts chapter 8 verse 25 up unto 36 did not happen in 5 minutes. Are we together? He began at the same scripture. Dear saints, you see, it should be like a Philip who, wherever you go for evangelism, somebody brings a question to you and you start there to explain that question to the person. Beginning at your question. Beginning at your question, I will explain Jesus to you. Are we together? So it's possible that if the Ethiopian eunuch had other scriptures outside the writings of Isaiah, Jesus, Philip would have opened them to explain Jesus unto him. Because Bible just tells you, beginning at where the Ethiopian eunuch was reading from. Are we together? So, look at verse 36. And as they went on their way, there came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What does hinder me to baptize? Now, what do you suppose? Let me ask you a very intelligent question right now. Please follow, right? I want to see who will get this answer. Look at verse 37 again. And 36 rather. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? Look at 37. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. And he what? Baptized him. And when they were come out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, right? That the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. Then Philip was now found in Azotus. Yeah, that's where you have the Philip Airlines, right? Right? Passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to the rest. So now, when the Ethiopian eunuch saw Philip and he was in Isaiah, he asked the question, was Isaiah speaking about himself or somebody else? Do you suppose that Ethiopian eunuch should have asked a similar question when he saw water? Are we here? Do you suppose that he should have asked a similar question when he saw water? Let me ask you a question. Where do you think he learned the practice of baptizing with water? Be careful to answer. Be careful to answer. Be careful to answer. Where do you think he learned or you would have known about seeing water and thinking baptism? Come again. Come again. Yeah. It's not about being sure. Just say what's on your mind. John the Baptist. Do you suppose that there would have been a presupposed knowledge about baptism with water from the writings of the prophets? Yes, we've taught that extensively in that series. Yeah, Investigating Scripture series 3A. Yeah, right. So there was a practice of baptism. So the practice of immersion into water started with who? So the practice of dipping into water in full and coming out started with what? The man that started it. Are we together? Now, by extension, there was such a thing called baptism in the writings of the prophets, but you would not see by immersion. Now, there are a few you will see, for instance, where you see in Naaman. Are we together? Go dip himself into water. How many times? 7 times to get healed and all of that. So, you know, The Ethiopian eunuch would have asked a very interesting question as, okay, this is water. What should we do with water? Could the teaching of water from the writings of prophets point to water itself or point to something else? Since he is asking Isaiah, is Isaiah talking about himself or somebody else? He should as well see water and say, is water talking about itself or what? Something else. Altogether. Then Philip, in a very intelligent way, you know, we taught in that series that the practice of baptism actually continued in the book of Acts. Right? And the book of Acts is just to show the Acts of the apostles and the early church. Right? So baptism, you can teach baptism. So people were dipped into water by mentioning the book of Acts. But we don't learn doctrine from Acts. Hallelujah. Are we together? We don't learn doctrine from Acts. We see the experiences in Acts and we learn doctrine from the epistles. Are we together? So Philip now says, okay, the most important thing is what? Believe in your heart. So can a man believe in his heart and be dipped into water? Yes. Which one has an effect? The dipping into water or the believing in the heart? So it means that if you dip a man into water and hasn't believed in his heart, what did you do? You just showered outside. And you can't really call it shower because really that water will not be really clean. Altogether. So you can say you just got dirty outside. Amen. Yeah, so we see that the Ethiopian, so Philip took him to Isaiah or where he was and started explaining to him in context. So the fundamental thing that would have been in Philip's mind when he sees scriptures is that scriptures are to make the wise unto what? Salvation. So when Isaiah would say, as a sheep led before the shearer, he opened not his mouth. Was Isaiah speaking about himself? No, but about somebody what? Else. So that is the same way we approach Bible study. Salvation has to be the bias by which you view scriptures. You know you cannot read the Bible without having a bias. You know that every interpretation of Bible is an effect of bias. Do you know that? Everybody who is teaching the Bible today and saying something that is different from what another person is saying, right, is as a result of bias. You cannot teach the Bible without a bias. You have to have a bias to teach the Bible. What is the bias of the Bible? Jesus, salvation. See, that's good bias. See, that's good bias. Hallelujah. So now Moses wrote Genesis. You know, John 1:45, Philip finds Nathanael and says unto him, behold, he whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write about, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Jesus now says in John 5:39, he said in scripture, you think in them you have life, but they are they which testify of me. Verse 43, if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote about me. If you believe not his writings, how will you believe my words? So the teachings of Jesus will be found in the writings of Moses. Luke 24:24. Certain of them went to sepulchre and found it even so as the men had said, but he they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the what? Prophet has spoken concerning what? Me. And beginning at where? Moses. And the what? Prophet. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So, did Jesus have a bias in explaining Moses? Did Jesus have a bias in explaining Moses? Yes. So was Jesus a biased Bible interpreter? Yes, so you have to be a biased Bible interpreter to get to a sound conclusion. Did you hear what I said? You see, a lot of us try to run away from bias. Are we together? We try to run away from bias, especially those of us that are, you know, coming into God's word and all of that. We try to run away from it, but you cannot effectively study God's word without having a bias. What is the bias? So think about the bias as a filter. The lens by which you view the scriptures. Yeah. So if you are to give a name to that filter is Jesus. Jesus himself used the filter Jesus to explain what Genesis to Malachi. Altogether. That's why you see in Luke 24, he now says, he opened ye their understanding unto them that they might understand the scriptures. The only way you will understand the scriptures the right way is when you apply the right bias. Are we together? So, men will write so many stories, but you need to understand what is written behind the stories. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, we've been trying to examine Sodom and Gomorrah and Noah for a few days now. Right? And we're trying to see what exactly was written and how was what was written. So, look at Jesus' mention of... Do you know that Jesus quoted Noah's flood? Do you know that? Do you know that Jesus spoke about Noah's flood? Do you know or you don't know? See, is it that you know or you don't know? I couldn't ask you, do you know or you don't know? You're looking at me. It's one. Do you know or you don't know? You don't know. So go to Matthew. Matthew 24. Look at Matthew 24. Are you in Matthew 24? Look at verse 36. Look at verse 34. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass. Matthew 24:34. Till all these things be what? Fulfilled. Look at verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away. Are we here? But my word shall not what? Say, my word shall not pass away. Can we read verse 36 together? 1, 2, 3, go. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. 37. But as of the days of who? What do you see in your Bible? Noe. That is Noah. In case you don't know, see the next line now. Right? So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in days were before the what? So can you see the flood? That means the Noe or Noe. Right? Or Noel, whatever translation, whatever your translation decides to name him, right? It has to be Noah. Altogether. For as the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah what? Entered into the what? Ark. Are we together? And knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. What is he actually really teaching? Yes, the long suffering of God, we actually suffer for long, but the destruction cannot be averted. Did you get that? The long suffering of God will suffer for long, but the destruction cannot be averted. You know, we've tried to explain that when you teach about the long suffering of God in Noah's days, it is a long suffering, patiently waiting for man to believe. Now, we're going to say very few interesting things today. Now, in dealing with the wrath of God, we have to be very careful about the implications we will say or we make or the implications of the statements we make. Are we together? You know, I'm sure some of you know this now, for instance. One of the easiest ways to actually defend that God is a good God and doesn't destroy is John 10:10. Are we together? Yeah, so you hear us say things like, if you say that God used to destroy and kill, it means that John 10:10 is describing God. Right? The thief comes not but to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But I have come that I may have life. So it means that one is God, one is Jesus. Do you understand? The implication of you saying God kills will be to explain that the one who kills, who steals, and destroys is God, while the one that comes to give life in abundance is who? Jesus. Hallelujah. What a beautiful theology. Can you see? The implications of the things you say, they actually do matter. I would say, imagine we have to teach God to calm down. Just think about it. Imagine you have to teach God to calm down. Why should God expect you to be calm or be long-suffering if he isn't long-suffering? Altogether. Imagine you are teaching God how to walk in love. You know, with what you know right now, if you still believe somewhere in your head that God kills, for instance, right? You say, and God destroyed a city. You say, God, can't you walk in love? Can't you say that to God? What is walking in love? Despite and in spite of what man does, you don't retaliate evil for evil. Is flood destruction evil? So if you see God send a flood to destroy a city, what do you tell God? Bro, I'm walking in love now. You see, it doesn't sound well. Are we together? You see, so a lot of us believe that, you know, Jesus now gave God his blood to pacify him. You know, when you have a baby, for instance, right? If the baby is crying, you can put something in the baby's mouth. And you are rest assured that for that period, when the thing is in the baby's mouth, it's not crying. Except for special babies, though. Hallelujah. Eh?
So it's as though you now put the blood of Jesus is like that in God's mouth. Anytime God wants to just talk too much, just
no. Yeah, so a lot of us believe that the blood of Jesus is to pacify God, the blood of Jesus is to make God calm down. Imagine you have to teach God how to calm down. Yeah, so we need to actually examine the implications of the things we'll say as believers. Are we together? Yeah, are we together? So God is not that tyrant who needs to be pacified. Are we together? God is self-sufficient. Is that true? God is self. And that's why you hear us teach things like this. The sacrifice of Jesus was into God. Are we together? God did not require the sacrifice of Jesus. Jesus is God, made manifest in the flesh to show man the slant of God's heart, for lack of better words. God is not a tyrant who needed someone to pacify him. No. We're not dealing with a local government chairman here. See, despite all the road I've done for you, all the water, there's water in your community, where I'll go and cut it. Are we together? You know, there's this gospel series that I'm following in the land of myth. And the town of what? Magic. The destiny of a great kingdom. You know it. Destiny of a great kingdom lies on the shoulders of a young boy. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. You know, but it's been interesting. My wife has been saying, watch this thing for a few years, but she just, you know, it's different when you're telling someone to watch something over the phone and when the person is beside you. So she won when she was beside me. So we started watching it. So I started understanding. See the person going, just looking at me and smiling. So I started understanding, you know, the concept of kingdoms. Are we together? You know, you have lots of fight against the kingdom. This kingdom wants this king wants to be killed. This king wants to kill that king. This one has to do this. And there's some things you can do to pacify the one who wants to kill another. And actually, it dawned on me that really, that is the approach a lot of us have towards God. That God is always on fire. God is always bubbling. But he needs something. So that's why what we do to God for 2022 to be good is what? We give him praise. You know, my people from the western part of Zion in Nigeria will sing a song. They say, up here, lingerie. You know what up here, lingerie is? Sister Obong, do you know what it means? You know what up here, lingerie is? No, up here, lingerie. So up here is the Hebrew Latin way of saying praise. Right? So onje. You know what unje is? You know what unje is? Exactly. You know unje. So ope unje lungere. So ope lungere. I always get that. So it means that praise is the food of God. Did not say ejeba. Angel kakoro. Are we kakore? Kakare. So kakare is the name given to that food. You know. So they say the summary is this: praise is the food of God. He doesn't eat eba, doesn't eat egusi, doesn't eat anything but praise. So praise is that which you feed God with for him to grow. You see, that's the implication, because you need food to grow. Food is to be in you to pacify something. Do you understand? There is something food is. So if you say praise is the food of God, by implication, yeah. So, and you know how they always say things like this now. You know, think about it this way. When you go to park in a place, right? And all the security people are trying to give you parking space depending on your car, depending on your face. Right? You know what makes them treat you like a king? Is the future money. Do you understand? Yes, It's the future money. Some of us in this part of the world, we are very interesting. Somebody will use the energy to direct to give you parking space. Place where they say no parking, no. He will remove it as he's parked there. When you finish, you wave at him. Just thank you. Some of you will never wind up. Just, or you expect him to know you are waving. All together. Is that kind of man that needs food to grow? That won't eat eba. And if you give him cockerel, he will what? Eat. And he will what? Grow. But God is not that way. All together. So we need to be careful of the implications of the things we say when we say what we say as believers. So Jesus quotes Noah's flood or Noah's event, whatever you want to call it. And he says, just as in the days of what, the flood, so shall the coming of Jesus be. What should you get from that narrative, right? Yes, a day will come where, in the real sense, the long suffering of God, which is still waiting, right, will not deprive destruction from coming, and only those who believe will escape destruction. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? So, let me now show you a few things in the Bible. Look at Genesis 18:25. Please, I will say some things that will help you put, you know, our knowledge on Noah right now is just in our heads, but we need to fit in some things into some places. Look at Genesis 18:25. Why is my Bible louder today? Are you in Genesis 18? 25. Can we read this? 1, 2, 3, go. And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sake. Hey. Are we together? Let me ask you a question. The righteous that will be spared in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, will it be based on morality? Look at 25 again. That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the... So there are two sets of people that will be found in Sodom. The what? Righteous and the wicked. The wicked, will it be based on conduct? Will it be based on homosexuality? Let me give you a statement that will change the course of your Bible study. The Bible tells us that when there is no law, there is no sin. Was there law in Genesis 18? Did you get that? I said it will change the course of your study. Was there law? Where was it first explicitly stated about homosexuality being a sin? Exodus, Deuteronomy, Leviticus, the writings of Moses, not in Genesis. Are we here? Are we here? So, who would have given them the morality code in Genesis 18? Would there be a morality code or a conscience code? Conscience. Why? Because Moses had not given the, what you call the 10 or the law, so to say. So it would mean that man... let me not go into this. Because I was already thinking of the effect in my head. So it's easier to know a righteous man or a wicked man if it's based on conduct, if Moses has come to the scene. Altogether. So for instance, how do you know someone who is doing bad when he lies? You know that lying is a sin. Thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not false, you know, beer and all of those things, right? So in the real sense, when Moses comes on the scene, the law becomes what? Easier to see, or the demarcation becomes easier to make. So to mean that the righteous and the wicked being slayed that Abraham spoke about in Genesis 18 will be based on believing the message. Did you get that? Now,
The people who were in gross wickedness, for instance, according to Moses in Noah's story, right? Will it be based on conduct or based on the message? It has to be the message. Why? Because what? Moses had not given the law to the Israelites in those days. Are we here? Because the question now becomes, what would have been the measurement of righteousness? Do you understand? So if God is saying, I'm looking for 50 righteous people, what would have been that measurement of righteousness? Altogether. So when Joseph knew not to sleep with Potiphar's wife, was there a law? Was there a law? So what was Joseph really doing? Just responding to the consciousness of sin. Conscience. Are we together? Now listen to what we are saying carefully, you know, because this is a narrative that pushes some people to teach about good is relative. You know that narrative, right? Yeah, so some people say good is relative. So if God destroys, it's not evil. Right? Because God can only do good. Right? So you have to be careful in narrative. So in days to come, we'll, you know, I've said something severally about the sovereignty of God and the what? Willpower of man. And I said we'll teach that in days to come. Yeah, it's something that will actually bring a lot of clarity to our Bible study as believers. Right? But let's stay where we are at the moment. Look at Romans 2 quickly. We're coming back to Genesis. Look at Romans 2. Romans chapter 2. Look at verse 3. O man that judgeth them which do such things and does the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness? So is God rich? In what? Goodness, beautiful. And what? Forbearance. And what? Long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of what? God leadeth thee to what? Repentance. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasure it up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his what? Is this. Look at verse 12. For there's no respecter of persons in verse 11 with God. Are we together? There is no respecter of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without law shall also what? Perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. Altogether. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the mean while accusing or else executing what? One another. So, first of all, you must know that the law wasn't given before the law was given. Is that true? Is that true? The law wasn't given before the law was given. So, on what basis will Abraham be counted as a righteous man? Look at Genesis 15. You know, we're in Genesis 18. Let's go back to Genesis 15. Are you there? Have you gone home? Genesis 15 verse 6. And he believed in the Lord. Who is the he that believed in the Lord? And it was counted to him for what? So Abraham was righteous by what? Believing. That's by faith. So what will be, what was being sought for in Sodom? Righteousness by believing. Righteousness by believing automatically takes you away from the category of the wicked. Is that true? What did Abraham get by believing? Righteousness. Now, you know, Abraham's righteousness was not by works. Look at it now. Moses tells you, and Abraham believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him as what? Righteousness. So what was God looking for in Abraham's time? Man to believe so that righteousness will be what? Imputed unto him. So what will the... So there are two categories of people in Sodom. Number one, the righteous.
and the wicked, who would the righteous be? Who would the wicked be? Those that don't believe. Are we together? So the righteous will escape death because he believes. Did you get that? The wicked will not escape death because he doesn't believe. Abraham believed and it was accounted unto him as what? Righteousness. So he couldn't have been, like I said before, he couldn't have been homosexuality, yeah, that actually caused Sodom and Gomorrah destruction. It had to be believing in the message. That is Moses' way of writing Bible. No, you know, I said something yesterday when Sister Rose asked a question yesterday about the concept of God the Father, God the Son, and everything. You know, and I said something. Moses will use human language to communicate to human understanding. Are we together? Right? Moses will use human language to communicate. So it means that well knitted around the stories of man will be the story of God. Are we here? Well knitted. Think about it. How do you suppose that you can trace the lineage of Jesus back to David? Well knitted in the stories of men will be God's story, God's chief story. Are we together? Are we together? So, at what point was homosexuality called a sin? In the law that Moses gave, or in the writings of Moses after Genesis. Don't go and say, I said homosexuality is not a sin. Are you here? Have you gone? Please be here. As a pastor said, maturity is not fine. Maturity doesn't destroy. Is that faith or wickedness? Is that righteousness or wickedness? Yeah? Don't go and say that, though. I did not say it, though. All together. Glory to God. Glory to the Lord. Praise God. So, Abraham became righteous by faith. Abraham did not have a perfect conduct, did he? And you know that Abraham also knew that he didn't have a perfect conduct. You know why you're doing evil, you know. How many of you don't know when you do evil? I just lied by mistake. How many of you steal by mistake? I know that's why in our generation it's very easy to just, when they catch somebody stealing, it's the devil. They catch you fornicating. It's the devil. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. Abraham wasn't a good guy. I hope you know. Saints, I hope you know Abraham wasn't a good guy. I hope you know Abraham was a good guy. If you are a man of peace, you will not have 318 trained soldiers in your house. Amen? If you are a man of peace, is when you are a man of war. Are we together? Is when you are a man of war. I didn't call names. Abraham was a man of war. Stay there. Bible narrative. Are we together? Are we together? Abraham took over his house girl. Anyhow you want to polish it, emoji. You took over your house girl. Eh? All together. Think of that implication in our day and time today. Some people are saying, let my husband shall not try it. Hey, you know that there's fire in Christ. Are we together? Yeah? Abraham took his wife, his house girl. Abraham lied. He did human trafficking. Is that not human trafficking? He traffics now. Genesis 12. He killed four kings and their kingdom. As a he's a murderer. But yet it was counted unto him as what? Righteousness. Yeah? So Abraham did trafficking. He did murder. He did like. You know his son did likewise. His son did likewise. That's why you're singing, I am one of them, and so are you. But Abraham had many sons. You are joining them. Many sons. You not see the lineage of his son. You are one of them. Don't ask me. Go ask your parents at home. Eh? Don't ask me. I was together. So Abraham did not have good conduct. Don't let anybody deceive you. What I mean is that Abraham cannot be a template for conduct for the believer.
either pre-righteousness or either pre-righteousness or post-righteousness. He didn't. But he's one of the men who you see the regular, almost every apostle quoted him. Why? Because righteousness is only attained by faith. Hallelujah. It's only attained by faith in believing in that work that God will do through Christ. After Abraham passed on, he didn't sober. What did he do? He what? You not know? Oh, you didn't know that Sarah was not the only wife of Abraham? Do you know that? When I mean wife, I don't mean sleeping with somebody he slept with. A wife. Abraham had another wife. Like, is it not Keturah? Yeah, Keturah was. He married Keturah after what? Are we together? Are we together? So, righteousness is only attained by faith. So, with all of this I've listed, was Abraham a righteous man? Yes. He believed and was counted. Righteousness is only by faith, dear saints. Only by faith and nothing else. What did Abraham discover? That God is the rewarder of them that what? Diligently seek. Seek in conduct or believing in the heart? Okay, look at Romans 4. Look at Romans 4, then go to Hebrews. Look at Romans 4. Oh, gracious Father. You see, when we teach things like this, yeah, we don't give people the license to sin. We're actually giving people the freedom from sin. Are we together? Because if you pay attention well to that which God has done, your conduct will align. Look at Romans 4. Romans chapter 4. What say, verse 1? What shall we say, rather, that Abraham our father found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he had whereof to glory, but not before God. For what say the scriptures? Abraham believed God. Is that Genesis 15? He believed God and what? It was counted unto him for what? Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of what? Debt. Are we together? So Abraham was called a righteous man, dear saints, when there was no law. Are we here? Are we here? Abraham was called a righteous man when they didn't have the do's and the don'ts. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. Say, I believe in the work. I believe in the work of Jesus. I believe in the resurrection of Jesus. I believe he lives in my heart. Say, I believe he lives in my heart. Say, I've been made righteous by believing in the work of the resurrection. Look at John 5. John chapter 5. Are you here? Look at 33. He says, ye sent unto John, and he bear witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that ye might be saved. He now says, he was a burning and shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in the light. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father had given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father had sent. Look at 37, what we are going to. And the Father himself which has sent me had borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice. Hello? Ye have never heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. Are we together? Are we together? Neither heard his voice, nor seen his shape. Go back to John 1. We're in John 5. Look at John 1. Now, let me ask a question. Who gave the law? Interesting. Who gave the law? Who gave the law? Is the law God made or man made? Are you sure? The law. You actually think that the law is man made? Is God man made?
Is God a man-made? Is the law man-made or God-made? So did God give them the law? Did God give them the law? Yeah. You don't know.
Look at John 1. Verse 16. And of his truth and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Verse 17, 1 to 3, go. For the law was given by who? But grace and truth came through. So the word they're giving is the word that means offered. I want to teach something very interesting now, okay? So the word they're giving is the word that means what? So a good way to read verse 17 is, for the law was what? Offered by Moses. Right? The law was offered by Moses. Go back to John 5. Listen, you know. The law was offered by Moses. Look at verse 45. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. Please listen to what I'm about to say, right? 46 now says, for I did believe Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my word? So, John 1, 17 tells you the law was offered by Moses. If you want to know the law of Moses, where will you see it? In the writings of Moses. What did Jesus say about the writings of Moses? If you believe him, you will believe me. So it means that by default, Moses wrote to two people. Are we here? Are we here? Let me say it this way. By default, in Moses' reading, or in the reading of Moses' writing, you will see two audiences that can be considered. Let me explain that to you better. Run with me to 2 Corinthians. The law was given by who? Okay, look at 2 Corinthians quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I've got my mind made up, and I won't turn back. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, right? Please follow attentively, right? For as much as ye are manifest, is that right? Ye are manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ ministered by us, written 2 Corinthians 3:3. Right? Written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stones, but in fleshy tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to God's word. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves, hallelujah, to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is what? Of God. Please look at your Bible. Look at verse 6. Who also had made us able ministers of what? The New Testament. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. See, all you people that don't have Rhema, all you people that are just taking time to pay attention to the Greek word, letter killeth. The letter killeth. Say the letter. Say the letter. Say the letter. He killeth. Who does he kill? Look at the next verse. But if the ministry, now observe what I'm doing, okay? If the ministration of death, written and engraving in stones, you see, it's not far-fetched. Why he kill it? You see, right? Are you seeing? If the ministration of death, written and engraving in stones, was glorious. Ministration of death, glorious. So that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses, for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away with. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather what? Glorious. So, ministration of death is one. Ministration of what? Is another one. In verse 6, there are two things mentioned there. Number one, check your Bibles now, verse 6. There are two things mentioned in verse 6. Number one, letter. And the second one is what? In verse 7, there are two things mentioned. In verse 8, in verse 7 and 8, there are two things mentioned. One, ministration of death. Ministration of what? The Spirit. So, ministration of death, can you put it in the same group, WhatsApp group?
with the letter?
Ministration of what? The Spirit. Can you put in the same WhatsApp group with what? The Spirit. So, Paul is talking about two conversations, or having a parallel conversation with two concepts. Right? So, he says, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? Look at verse 9. If the ministration of condemnation be glory, are you here? Much more does the ministration of what? Righteousness exceed in glory. So, how many are there two again in that verse? So, for WhatsApp group A, what do you have there? No? Start from the beginning. Hello? Ministry groups, WhatsApp group one. What do you have there? Letter. Number two, ministration of death. Number three, ministration of condemnation. WhatsApp group B, what do you have there? The Spirit. Ministration of what? The Spirit. And what? Of righteousness. Are we here? So keep observing, okay? For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have what? Such hope. We use what? Great plainness of speech. So it means that when we want to say you have eternal life, we say it clearly. We don't use tree. Are we together? We say it clearly. It says, and not of Moses, or not as Moses, which what? Put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is what? Abolished. But their minds were what? Blinded. For until this day remained the same veil. How can veil remain on somebody's head till now, from Moses' time? Are we here? Was there veil on Moses' face? Was there veil on Moses' face? Ha, be careful. Don't turn everything to figure. And that doesn't mean it's not figured. Yeah. Was there veil on Moses' face? Okay. Did Paul tell you there was veil on his face? Was there veil on his face? They had to have a veil on his face. But the veil on his face will point to something else. So the veil on his face will be a pointer to the veil on their hearts. Okay, look at it again. Okay, look at it again. Verse 14 now tells you their minds were what? So their minds were blinded because there was a veil. Hey, all together. How do we know there was no, or the veil is not there today? Yeah, but their minds were blinded, for until this day remained the same veil untaken away. How? In the reading of what? The Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. Look at 15. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, where is the real veil? The veil is on their hearts. So Moses put a veil on his face to show the veil on their hearts. All together. So how do we remove the veil from the man's heart when he is turned to Christ? Are we together? Yeah. So even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their hearts. Nevertheless, when he shall what? Turn to the Lord, that's leave WhatsApp group A and enter WhatsApp group B. Hallelujah. Are we here? Yeah. And it says, the veil shall be what? So how is the veil taken away when you read with the bias of Christ? Amen. 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 So in the writings of Moses, the law that Moses offered, in the writings, you see that there is a veil. So how do you know a man with a veil and a man without veil? In the reading, how he reads and interprets it. So, when you use Christ, the veil is taken away. When Christ is not the object, the veil is there. Is there still veil on Moses' face today? 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 Oh, yeah. No, let me see your hand. Let me catch all of you today. All of you. No, no, yes, no, yes, no, yes. Scatter the whole place with yes, no, no. Some of you is at home. Yeah, huh. Is there still veil on Moses' face today? Okay. Not this your maybe answer. Is there still veil on Moses' face today? So does that mean that when we buried Moses, they left the veil on his face? But is there still veil on Moses' face today? Yes and no. When I mean veil, I will speak about the writings of Moses. Where is the veil found? In the reading of the writings of Moses. Are we here? Are we here? So how is that veil taken away? When you turn. Let me now show you something interesting. Hallelujah. Yeah. Verse 17. Now the Lord is that what? Spirit. And where the Spirit of Lord is, there is what? Liberty. Hallelujah. So the believer is born into liberty. Hallelujah. The believer is born into freedom. The believer is born into liberty. So where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. Are we together? Are we together? But we all, with open face, beholding as in the glass the glory of the Lord, are what? We are changed into the same image from what? Glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So that changing, is it a continuous or instant? Is the change a continuous or instant? Instantly continuous. From the previous verse 3-4, he started speaking about two types of glory. Right? One glory and another one that excelleth in glory. So when he now says, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. When the Spirit of the Lord changes from glory to glory, is it continuous or instant? It has to be instant, right? Right? So now in the writings of Moses, so you can read Moses with a veil in your heart. Are we together? How do you remove the veil on your heart? The veil on your heart was the veil on his face. Are we here? Are we here? That same veil. Say that same veil. You know, that's figurative. That veil on his face was to point you to the veil on the heart. But we take away the veil in the reading with the bias of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the Bible, so when you were in John, so John now tells you, oh, believe his writings, you will believe my words. In the same writings, he offered the law. Look at 1 Timothy. Look at 1 Timothy 1. 1 Timothy. Look at 1 Timothy 1, verse 5. Now, the end of the commandment is what? Charity out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned, right? From which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be what? Are we here? Desiring to be what? Teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say, nor whereof they what? Let's read verse 8 together. 1, 2, 3, go. But we know that the law is good if a man uses it, what? Lawfully. Who has another translation there? Let me hear. Who has another translation there? Huh? Everybody uses King James in God's Palace? Sister Pleasant, okay? If... No, no, no. Read it again. Hear what he said. We know that the law is good if one... So in the same writings of Moses, where you see his laws that he offered is the teaching of Jesus. So it means there's a proper way to use the law. Right? And there's an improper way to use the law. Are we together? Are we together? So Moses wrote it. Moses offered it. The same writings of Moses is where Jesus says, "They testify of me." So that means there's a how not to read the Bible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a how not to read the Bible. So now, in Noah's conversation, for instance, what did Noah find in the eyes of the Lord? Grace. Noah found grace, Genesis 6, verse 8. We just looked at that last week, Sunday, right? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. What does it mean to find grace? It means in his knowledge about God, he discovered that God is full of what? Grace. Are we here? Okay. Now, do you remember the story of Jesus rebuking the storm? Remember that story? Did Jesus rebuke the storm? Literally or figuratively?
Was there a storm?
So you can answer this one fast.
So why can't you answer if it booked a storm literally faster?
Was there a storm?
Yes.
Was Jesus in the boat with his disciples?
Yes.
Was the boat figurative? Was there a storm?
Yes.
Did the storm reach?
Yes.
Was the storm rebooked?
Yes,
now. How can I say did Jesus rebook the storm? You are looking at me. You say you are careful. Careful of what? Are we together? So, did Jesus rebook the storm? Let me ask you a very intelligent question. Not really intelligent. If Jesus was in the day of the flood, what would Jesus do?
Be what?
You attack. You enter the ark.
Oh my goodness. You don't know you're not a senior. He entered the ark. Oh my goodness. How bad? How do you say he entered the ark? So if Jesus was in Noah's day and time, what will he have done? You know what? He will rebook the flood. How do we know? We see Jesus rebook. Look, think about it this way. He was in the ark when the storm was raging. Are we together? Is it possible that that ark, with the ark they built, the flood will still destroy it? Ah, yes, so. Flood. Is that so? Tell us something. Is that a question? You are expressing your heart. Yeah, so we see Jesus rebuke the storm. What do you think Jesus would have done with the flood? He would rebuke the flood. This is where we are going to with that conversation. So it means that when you see Jesus in the midst of storm or flood, he will rebuke, not because he caused it. But the reason I took us to Jesus was to see something. If Jesus rebuked the storm and the storm obeyed, Jesus could have rebuked the flood if he was there. Would the flood obey? You see, you must not think of flood as bigger than storm. Are we together? Are we together? So it means that the flood could not have... So we know we've established in this series that God is Jesus. Right? So it means that Jesus will be found expressing what God will be found doing. So why do you suppose Jesus rebuked the storm? To save them from perishing. Are we together? So it means that if that is Jesus expressing the heart of the Father, Jesus will always look forward to saving if he was present at the flood. All together. So there's no point trying to ask, will he have entered the ark or not entered the ark? Because really, that phase cannot happen again for us to see what would have happened. It just leads you to unending questions. You know, Jesus is the I am that I am. You just say storm. Yeah. But we see Jesus' template in reference to something similar to flood, and we see that he stopped the flood. So Jesus would have actually stopped the flood, in the storm rather, Jesus would have stopped the flood. Yeah, so Jesus knew. In fact, think about it this way. Jesus was in the ark, yes, in the ark, let's say it this way, ark, right, when the storm came. What was Jesus found doing? Right? He was found sleeping. Now, it was the fear of the disciples that woke him up, saying, Master, do you want us to perish? So eventually, if your conversation, you say that Jesus will enter the flood, not out of fear. Because my brother answered that question from a place of Jesus will see water and enter the ark. Are we together? Yeah, in the midst of the storm, we see Jesus calm. And to save the people, he calms the storm. So Jesus should not have rebuked the storm if God sends the storm. Amen? Are we together? Is storm and flood from God? Remember James 1? Yeah? Do not err altogether. Right? Let him that is tempted say that, for God cannot tempt with evil, neither does he don't hear any man. God cannot be tempted with evil, neither does he tempt any man. So, what did Noah find? So, what did the people on Jesus' boat for the storm find? They found what Noah found, though. Grace. Are we here? Are we here? They found grace in the real sense, found safety in the fact that Jesus provided safety for them. Are we here? Never forget this phrase. In the writings of the Bible, the stories of men will be knitted around, or God will use the stories of men to communicate his plan to man somewhere. In the writing or in the Bible language, God will use the stories of men to communicate his plan to man. So do you suppose that God was the weatherman in Noah's time? Who is the weatherman? A man who forecasts the weather. So the stories of God's plan, or the story of God's plan, will be well knit around the physical stories of men. Let me end here. Look at Hebrews. Where did I say you should go to? Hebrews 11. Now, faith is the what? Substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Right? For by it, remember, never read verse 1 without verse 2. Is that true? For by it, the elders what? Obtained a good report. Now look at verse 26, 25, or 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of what? Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction on the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming. Are you there? Verse 26, esteeming what? The reproach of Christ as greater riches than the treasure in Egypt. For he had respect with the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the what? Wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover, right? And the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should what? Touch them. So did he say God that destroys the firstborn? He, right? That destroys, right? Paul now tells you the destroyer, right? 1 Corinthians 10. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. Now, all these things that happened in Hebrews chapter 11 from verse 23, were they physical things that happened? What were those physical things that happened pointing to? Hello? What were they pointing to? What were they pointing to? Were they pointing to things not seen? Were they pointing to things not seen? Were they pointing to things not seen? So it means that when you see the expression of the faith of men in the Bible, it will point to an expression expected from as faith from men towards the message and the promise of God. I'll say it one more time. When you see the expression of faith, now, so that's what you see. Bible tells you that Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasure of what? Egypt. Are we here? Verse 26 now qualifies in the real context what he's saying. Esteeming the what? Reproach of Christ as what? Greater riches. Are we together? So now, these things that happened amongst the disciples, or amongst the men of old, right? Did it happen literally? You know, you must not get to that conclusion that they did not happen literally. Yeah? Because they are stories that Moses heard of, except they were fables told to Moses.
Did you get that?
Except the stories were fables told to Moses. So, but these were stories told to Moses, then Moses needs God's plan in his writing around the stories. Did you get that? Did you get that? These are stories that happened that Moses was told through the practice of oral tradition, and Moses, we will need, Bible now tells you, you know, all scriptures are inspired of God. So it is through the stories, right, we see God inspiring a story to be written around those, what, stories. Are we here? Are we here? That's why Hebrews 11:39 tells you, yes, for the elders obtained a what? Good report, but did not what? Attain the what? Promise. Are we together? So in the expressions of faith, physically, you will see good reports to account to them. But they were pointers to God's deep promise. Are we here? Are we here? So I'm going to allow us to do something quickly now, right? So next week is our last Sunday. I plan on teaching something interesting next week. But I ask people to send me questions. So let's ask questions. And we're not done with the narrative because we didn't really pay attention to 2 Corinthians and 2 Peter. Yeah, we're not done with Noah's story. We're not done with Sodom and Gomorrah for now. We're just leaving open end.